Santas, and we nobody could figure out why they were doing that.
Yep.
And the other one that they said could be picked is the lady that is the Department of Energy. I forgot her name.
Jennifer Granholm?
Yeah, that's
it. How the hell do I know that?
Mm-hmm. Good one, Joey.
If that's her, and that sounds like the name.
Yeah, she's a former governor of Michigan, I believe.
And the other one would be the current governor of Michigan.
Oh, Gretchen?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not claiming I want to do this, but you look at that woman, you just want to kidnap her, right?
Nope.
You better be careful saying that.
Nope.
The FBI will be knocking on your door.
And before you know, it's going to be a bloodbath at Joey's house.
I'm a fan. No, you're saying. No, I'm a fan.
They're saying that those are the three likely candidates. How's that for an interesting topic?
Oh, I think you're on the money. You're at least over the target. And we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. But I got to hit this top of the hour break, Bill. Really do appreciate it.
Yeah, have a great day.
You too, Bill.
Should have Caroline Dobson stopping by after this quick break.
Broadcasting from the Riverside Chevrolet Master Control Center, this is WACV Coosada, News Talk 93.1 FM. When it's Chevy, it's Riverside.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The U.S. Supreme Court taking up a dispute over censorship, misinformation, and free speech on social media. The CEO of United Airlines trying to reassure travelers that the airline is safe despite a series of recent incidents ranging from a panel falling off a plane to an engine fire. CEO Scott Kirby says that United will review training for all employees on safety. He says the airline was already planning an extra day of training for pilots starting in May. The Environmental Protection Agency announcing a comprehensive ban on asbestos, a deadly carcinogen still used in some chlorine bleach, brake pads, and other products. Asbestos exposure linked to 40,000 U.S. deaths each year. The Dow had 166 points. Now the Nasdaq adding 200. This is SRN News.
Donald Trump's indictment proves that saving America is not going to be easy. There are entrenched powers that are fighting this with everything they've got. They want to keep control over the country, the narrative, and the nation's money supply. Hi, I'm Lance Wallnow. I'm a news analyst, a Christian author, an evangelical leader. I speak to millions of people every week, people just like you. You see, what the elites are doing is using inflation and government handouts and now central bank digital currencies to determine how they're going to control America. And that's why I recommend all Christians start a gold IRA from the Birch Gold Group. Because physical precious metals are one of the few ways you can maintain control over your own savings. To get a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and you'll see why a gold IRA can help you. There are no strings attached. Text the word FAITH to 989898 and you're going to be blessed by taking action right now.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by Clark Heating, Air, and Plumbing. When you call the professionals at Clark with plumbing needs, you can count on quality service, flexible appointments, and affordable pricing. For more information, visit clarkcomfort.com. Better call Clark, 277-2125. Alabama certification number 09098.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. On this last day of winter, we have a late-season cold snap to talk about. Freeze warning in effect for tonight. Cool sunshine today with a high temperature much below normal, up to the upper 50s to around 60 at best. Low tonight near 32. Widespread frost by dawn tomorrow morning. For the day tomorrow, more sun, high temperature barely up to about 60, upper 30s again on Tuesday night, and near 70 on Wednesday, back to the low 70s on Thursday. Risk of showers returning on Friday. That's the third Friday in a row. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
For the lowest prices around on flooring and DIY flooring installation supplies, Budget Floors and More is your new best friend. Luxury vinyl plank, carpet, ceramic tile, floor installation supplies, and more with prices lower than the big box stores. Budget Floors and More. Hunter Lane across from Del Rey to Publix.
1819 News.
Governor Ivey has recently issued some grant money. $1.6 million is being distributed to drug task forces throughout the state of Alabama in order to continue the battle against illegal drugs. $200,000 will be given to each of the seven drug task force that work under the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency. The money is to cover operational and equipment expenses for those task force missions. I'll be back with more Alabama stories after this.
Covenant Grassroots Group seeks to directly support organizations and agencies that are fighting the global battle against human trafficking. They do this through funding, procuring, and advocating. You can go to covenantrescue.org for further details. They need your donations, guys. Hop on and donate.
A murder investigation is underway in Birmingham after a body was found outside of a small business. The victim has been identified as 37-year-old Eliazon Solis. Authorities say that Solis was found to have suffered a trauma to his body that is believed to be intentional. Solis was found in West Birmingham. So far, no suspects have been identified or taken into custody. Today, a Mobile man is expected to be in a courtroom to receive a prison sentence from a Mobile County Circuit judge. Marco Antonio Perez was found guilty by a jury of murdering a Mobile police officer. He was given a death sentence by that same jury. Prosecutors, along with defense attorneys for Perez, decided that despite the jury's verdict, a formal sentencing hearing needed to occur by that judge. Before the year 2017, a judge could override a jury's sentencing decision, but now state law makes the jury's decision unchangeable. The Florence Police Department is seeking more inroads into community relationships and have created a nonprofit as a result. The Florence, Alabama Police Foundation is already planning a youth basketball tournament for this coming April to further relationships within the community. I'm Andrea Tice.
For more news affecting Alabamians, go to 1819news.com. And while you're there, subscribe to the daily newsletter.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Cole Plumbing, 279-8919. Cole Plumbing is number one in the number two business. You don't have to dig a hole. They have proprietary pipelining technology. Ask them about their tankless water heaters. Remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
At Guardian Credit Union, we believe that banking should be personal, just like the relationships we build with members. Imagine a place where you're not just a credit score, but a valued part of our community. At Guardian, our dedicated team takes the time to listen, understand, and tailor financial solutions that fit your unique needs. From buying a car to saving for college and even starting a small business, we've got you covered. Come experience the Guardian difference and let's achieve your financial goals together. Guardian Credit Union, where you belong. Federally insured by NCUA.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. It's time for Montgomery's Conversational Radio Show. It's News and Views on News Talk 93.1 FM. To join the conversation, call 272-9228.
Clark.
Welcome back to News and Views in the afternoon. I'm Joey. Eddie's still in the house.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Some days I just wonder. You're a father, right?
But of course.
You're a man in his 50s.
Yes.
And yet you go, hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
With that shirt on.
Yeah.
And so I bring all this up because I want to first apologize to our guest, Caroline Dobson. See what I deal with here every day?
What are you talking about?
You can't forget I'm from Monroe County, so I've seen it all.
Fit right in.
Oh, yeah, so, hey, buddy.
That's right. Hey, buddy.
So how are you doing today, Caroline?
I'm doing great. Thanks. How about you?
I'm all right. Surviving is the word I'm using today. Surviving. Maybe we'll be thriving later in the week. So since we last talked, where have you all been on the campaign trail?
Yes, we've been, just all over, really. We've been to East Alabama. We've spent some time down in Mobile, back in Monroe County. Again, very, very proud to be from Monroe County, and the folks there really showed up for me on March 5th and was excited to get to be back there and thank them and really thank them for all of their encouragement and influence throughout my life. I'm so grateful to have grown up in a small town with some truly wonderful Americans to look up to, and so it was great to get to be back there too, in addition to all the other stops.
Well, and I guess my first question today today because we've been talking about it all show. And I think it's important to this race. Mm-hmm. It's not just us kicking around the latest political topic, but this whole bloodbath hoax, as right. people on Twitter X right. are putting it. What do you make of where corporate media is these days, and how do you think it plays out in this particular election? Say, if you get the nomination, it's not just me or the Montgomery Advertiser you'll be talking to. I'm sure we're going to get national attention here.
Right, and I think it's important to be aware that everything, single thing you say is going to be twisted. I mean, we saw this with the incredibly harsh and cruel mainstream media feedback on Senator Britt's speech. We saw this with, the bloodbath comments that were taken out of context. And we saw this even when this district was created. It was created per voting rights legislation to be a more competitive district. The black voting age population in this district is 48.5%. But, the media immediately said, oh, well, this is a blue pickup, without even actually looking at the statistics. And in the fall, it was viewed as a D+4 district, which Republicans have won D+6 districts before. So it's not, it should have definitely been in the toss-up category, but I think the media was trying so hard to kind of quell any sort of Republican hopes that this would be a seat in play. And then the numbers in the primary last week showed that, week before last, showed that this absolutely is a seat in play and could be one of the most competitive races this fall. So again, I think, given that, because of the state of our country, because of just the disaster that the Biden administration's been, the media's trying to pull out every single trick, trying to twist every single word in their favor because, Republican candidates, and especially Trump, is polling higher than ever with folks that have probably never voted Republican before but are fed up with where our country's headed.
What do you think are the main reasons people are fed up right now? And it is the manipulation and the gaslighting for sure, mm-hmm. as we just talked about. In terms of like the policy issues, where do you think, especially traveling the district, people mm-hmm. are at? What's their main frustration?
Yeah, I mean, of course the border. I mean, that's just first and foremost in everyone's minds. It's the crime, the Lake and Riley tragedy, the fact that 112,000 Americans died last year of fentanyl overdose, and, the fact that over 20,000 Chinese nationals have come across our southern border just in the first 2 months of 2024 alone. So many issues there that are frustrating people. The economy, of course. The fact that we could be making a few simple changes that would have a huge impact. We could be energy independent again, and that would have a drastic impact on just the price that you and I pay for everything. And I think just in general, people are really tired of career politicians and folks that are trying to fight for themselves instead of fight for the people of this nation, the good, hardworking, taxpaying folks in this nation. And that's why I'm running. I'm running to fight for Alabama families. I think that's more and more I'm just hearing from folks that are just kind of sick and tired of the same old, same old. And that's the reason that I, as a totally private, wife, mom, lawyer, citizen, less than 5 months ago, was able to even be in this position in the runoff. And that's where I think I have the advantage over my opponent. He served in the Alabama State Senate, but for 16 key conservative votes, he didn't show up to vote. One of those was charter schools, several other issues. So I think people are tired of career politicians who aren't showing up for the American people.
Now, in terms of, this is your first time hop into politics, we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating for folks who haven't heard us before. What was the decision like? What went into the decision to run for office?
Well, I mean, a lot of thought and prayer. I've always been interested in politics. We always talked about it at the dinner table, even though, I guess etiquette books say you shouldn't. But when you grow up in a small town, you see politics kind of played out, small town politics played out. And so you know who the probate judge is, you know who the mayor is. You get involved in campaigns because it's all, it's a much smaller cast of characters. But I've always, been interested in politics, had the opportunity to work for Congressman Joe Bonner and Senator Jeff Sessions when I was in college. college. But really, as far as, you know, why I decided to step up here, kind of what I was saying earlier, you know, the mainstream media, once the district lines were finalized in mid-October of last year, it was, they painted such a depressing picture as to the chances of a Republican winning. But if you actually looked at the statistics, you know, again, it was a supposedly a 4% difference. It's probably not that, actually, if the primary turnout's any indication. And Republicans have won in this district if you draw the lines and count the votes. Only Republican women. So Senator Britt came very close to winning the district, and Governor Ivey did win the district, which, you know, traditionally Republican women do better in purple districts. In 2020, there were 15 seats that flipped from blue to red. Of those 15, 11 were won by Republican women. The other four were won by minority Republicans.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I think in a lot of these races, a lot of these purple districts, the soccer mom vote and the independents kind of make the difference in the general. And, you know, sadly, and the young vote too. I think a lot of young voters my age and younger don't always vote. They should. We've got to fight apathy, but they don't always vote. And I think, again, sometimes, you know, whether a soccer mom votes Democrat or votes Republican or just stays home, you know, that group, that section can make a huge difference in who wins in a general election.
Well, and it has been a change in politics, and I was warning folks in that primary election to watch out for you. Don't underestimate you. And now you're in the runoff, so here we are. Now, when you look at the structural problems up there in D.C., I was just asking Brubaker about this earlier in the show. In particular, I think of something like the debt. How do we even begin to tackle it? Is it a particular form of legislation? Is it building coalitions? Like, how do we even begin to tackle something so big?
Well, it's a combination. I mean, first of all, we've got to stop kicking the can down the road, and we've got to take a hard stand. You know, we've had so many continuing resolutions, and, you know, unfortunately, if we're going to get, you know, you have to balance your budget, I have to balance my budget, and we as a nation need to balance our budget. And so if that means that we do have to shut the government down, I mean, we've certainly got to ensure that our military is paid and that Social Security benefits continue to be paid. But sometimes, you know, we need a wake-up call. So I think we've got to stop kicking the can down the road, and we've also got to stop cutting, got to start cutting and stop funding all these left-wing initiatives. You know, I would love to repeal the Green New Deal entirely. I would love to stop subsidizing wind energy. We've got to cut the funding that's going to promulgate woke agenda. I mean, here in Alabama, I'm very grateful that the legislature has passed an anti-DEI bill that would prohibit public universities in Alabama from using funding for DEI, because Alabama and Auburn were each had a DEI budget of over $2 million each. And then you actually look at if you're, you know, supposedly DEI helps to increase the presence of marginalized students. Well, you look at the population, student population of Alabama, and the black student population is less than 13%. You look at Auburn, it's less than 6%. You look at Troy, who spends $0 on DEI, and their black student population is over 30%, which is more on track with the overall population of Alabama. You know, it's actually true that DEI builds resentment, it builds insecurity, and then, you know, we're funding all of the, using taxpayer dollars to fund all these woke agendas. So I think it's, you know, really cutting government spending, and especially the spending that's being used to promulgate a lot of this liberal indoctrination in our country.
Yeah, but here's where I'm at in life, because I can understand that you're running and you're seeking this office, but you'll be, what, one of 435 up there? So, like, that's, I guess, where I'm going next with the questions. Like, how do you even begin? I guess you have to, for lack of a better word, pay your dues. It happens at the State House and State Senate, and I'd imagine it happens up there in Congress, but... Is there a way to kind of break the mold? You're new, but you're going to find a lot of folks who have been up there creatures of that system for a long time.
Oh, sure. I mean, but I think that's where the energy and the commitment and the conviction that I have comes in. I'm the candidate who has worked the hardest in this race. Look, you know, again, I had 0% name recognition on November 1st when I was the first Republican to qualify. And I've been on the road every day, not just, you know, trying to meet voters, sure, but trying to learn about this district. district and learn about the struggles and opportunities in this community. And I think Senator Britt is a great example. You know, she's a young woman, freshman senator, and she has been able to really accomplish a lot just because she's been willing to put in the work and to show up. And that would certainly be my strategy as well. I think the fact that I have the energy and the commitment to advocating for the people of this district too is going to be a point in my favor as far as folks wanting to build relationships with me and knowing that I could be there for a decade. When we send someone who's already in retirement age, how likely is it that the leaders of the party are going to view that person as someone that they need to invest time and energy in. And that may be true, but it's just, we need to have someone who has the work ethic to really put in the hours to build the coalitions and rise in the different committees.
Also, I suspect that war chest didn't harm Senator Britt any bit.
Sure.
Climb. Again, folks, we're talking to Caroline Dobson. She is running for Congress, the brand new District 2 here in the great state of Alabama. Thank you, federal courts. Now, you, just to reiterate for folks who haven't heard, you've signed the Grover Norquist, the no new taxes pledge, right?
That's right. I was in the primary. I was the only Republican. And again, remain in the runoff, the only Republican who has signed the Americans for Tax Reform pledge, committing to never vote to increase federal taxes on the American citizen. And I will say that every currently serving member of the Alabama delegation that's a Republican has also signed that pledge. Conservatives can disagree on certain bills. The TikTok bill, for instance, you had Republicans, mm-hmm. Voting yes and Republicans voting no. But I think a central tenet of the Republican Party and conservatism is that, the government should be more limited and should not be funded by increased federal taxes. And again, my opponent has, when he was in the state legislature, voted on numerous occasions to raise the taxes on Alabamians. So I think that's a very clear contrast here.
Now, you mentioned the TikTok bill. Where would you have landed on that?
Well, I think it was the way in which it was marketed was a kind of a real knee-jerk reaction, because I think we all know that TikTok is a direct conduit to the Chinese government. And, and so there are a lot of, I wrote an op-ed a couple of months ago about how, we need to get rid of TikTok. People need to delete it off their phones. And it galls me, the number of young people that still have it on their phones. So I think we can all agree that TikTok is bad. However, we should not allow the Democrat Party to use eliminating TikTok as a cover for potentially censoring conservative thought, and again, we don't want to end up with another Patriot Act, and right. I think there was some playing there on the sentiment, anti TikTok, anti China sentiments, in order to potentially create legislation that would allow for the censorship of conservative thought. And I think also with any social media bill, we have got to be focused on protecting our children as well.
Yeah, and we very much on the show are in the camp of I don't like this. I think mm-hmm. the language is too vague. Mm-hmm. The Patriot Act all over again. And also, I look to my canaries in the coal mine up there like a Thomas Massey. I tend to go and be just as sassy as Mr. Massey. But on the tax stuff, it's not just, I'm not going to raise taxes. Would you be for cutting taxes?
Yes, absolutely. Especially, which I feel like we haven't heard about as much. I mean, I would definitely be for extending the Trump era tax cuts and exemptions. But when it comes to the estate tax, the death tax, we really have to start looking at that again. I feel like, in the early 2000s, I heard a lot about, killing the death tax. But you look at the average age of our national legislators at that time, and they were in their 50s, 60s, about to have to deal with a, deceased parent and generational transfer. Now you look at the average age of our legislator, you don't hear as much about it because they've already inherited their inheritance, and it's more, you know, they don't, it's not an issue for them. Mitch McConnell is not going to have to pay inheritance tax on the death of a parent, you know, and so there hasn't been as much focus on that, but that's huge, especially for this district. So much of this district is rural lands and agriculture, and that's who the death tax hits the hardest.
Right.
So it's estimated in the next 15 years, 40% of American farms are going to change hands generationally. For the average American farm, over 91% of the assets are non-liquid, so land, equipment. And so we're going to be in a situation where we're going to experience extreme fragmentation, the loss of family farms, kind of the lifeblood of our country and our food security, if we don't do something to address the death tax.
Yeah, and to your point, it is, for folks who don't understand, I think it's unconscionable that if I'm about to inherit a family farm mm-hmm. and all the capital goods on that farm, mm-hmm. and I get a tax bill for a few million dollars, and it's all in, it's not like I'm sitting on cash.
Right, right.
You're ending up being forced to sell what is, it's supposed to be a family heirloom, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then on top of that, last week we were, one of my favorite economists, Peter St. Onge, did a great article and video on the death of small farming mm-hmm. in America, and I've heard folks in this area, like folks who used to, in the family was dairy farming, but now mm-hmm. they had to sell because.
Right.
How do we get the extra burdens off folks? Because when I think of America, I think of the small family farm is a huge part of who our identity is. How do we save those folks?
Well, I mean, one key is certainly deregulation. I think death tax is huge.
Yeah.
Deregulation, also ensuring that we have caps on our property tax increases from year to year. And then we've also got to be energy independent again. You know, what's really killing any sort of profit in farming right now is the fact that the cost of diesel and the cost of fertilizer are so incredibly high. To the benefit of OPEC nations like Venezuela and the Middle East. So it's a combination of things, but you know, again, the waters of the US is just a land grab. Attempted a land grab by the Democrats. As is a lot of other regulatory action that's taken place under the Biden administration, including the Community Right to Know Act, the EPCRA, which the Obama administration, but Biden has attempted to revive that, but would require farmers to report the amount of ammonia in the excrement of their livestock.
Yep.
Part of the problem is that, you know, you have people actively attacking agriculture, such as the Biden administration's 30 for 30 plan, where they want to conserve, i.e. control 30% of American lands by 2030. But then, you know, another part of the problem is there's a lot of people that are ignorant to agriculture and create all these rules and regulations without thinking about how they might be applied in the agriculture context. And then you have, again, a Biden administration that does apply them to a small family farm that, you know, maybe, again, the creator of this regulation had no intent for it to apply to, but there's no carve out. So we just need to have more folks that are cognizant of the struggles of the American farmer in Washington.
Now, we might have already mentioned it in passing and answering my other questions, but is there an issue that isn't being talked about right now? Because, I mean, that's how campaigns work. You talk about what people are talking about. But
right,
is there an issue you could maybe foresee down the road that people aren't talking about that they should be talking about?
That's a good question. I mean, not to beat a dead horse with respect to what I was just talking about, but one of my first priorities, if elected, would be to codify Trump's regulatory Bill of Rights. It was an executive order that he promulgated in 2020 that just created some basic protections for the American citizen facing a regulatory action. I mean, standardize the rules of evidence, due process, the burden of proof. And I think a lot of Americans don't realize that, you know, while you're innocent until proven guilty in a judicial court system, if a federal agency comes after you saying that a certain rule applies to your small business, there's no guarantee and there's no standard for how they actually administer those proceedings. So I think that's a win for all Americans of you know, of any political persuasion. And again, I think the fact that the Biden administration revoked that executive order within 40 days of Biden taking office, because in print, it would prove too burdensome for federal agencies. You know, you're like, well, yeah, I think the agency should be burdened personally.
Yes, right.
So anyway, that's, again, that's maybe not the sexiest thing to talk about, on the campaign trail, but it's very much a priority of mine because again, a lot of District 2 is made up of small towns, small businesses, you know, again, ag producers, but even the big businesses too, you know, they are also, often, very frequently, the brunt of federal overreach from the executive branch.
Now, pretty much running out of time here, but if folks are liking what we're talking about, and they want to help you out in this runoff campaign, how can they do so?
Yeah, no, thank you. You can go to www.dobsonforcongress.com. I'm also on X, Instagram, Facebook, and Truth Social, Dobson for Congress.
Okay. Well, it was great seeing you, Caroline.
Good to see you, too. Thank you.
Open door policy. This is going to be, I think, a pretty heated race, I'd imagine.
Yes.
So, y'all stay tuned. More news and views after this.
He may not know whether he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
David Little, Tucker Pecan, and things are happening at Tucker that's going to surprise you. They're moving. Here's David to tell you more.
Yeah, Bubba, we are. We're moving. Been out here since 1952, and it was time to make a change, and we're making a change, and it will be for the better. We're going to move to 135 Mulberry Street. We're going to have our store over there. Our kitchen's going to be in the back. It's going to be a great opportunity for us, and we're going to have all the great gifts we have, and we're going to do the mail order like we've always done. But we're just moving to an area where it has other shops like us, which will be good for us. And, you know, it makes it easier for people to come shopping. They can just jump off the interstate right there on Mulberry, take a left, go about a mile up. We're on the left. So that's what we're doing. We're going to have the same great candies and gifts and all that, but in a different location. And we're starting to move, and hopefully we will be moved and out, everything done by the end of the month. So starting in March, we will be at 135 Mulberry Street. So y'all just come see us now.
Is spring cleaning making your floors feel, well, a little worse for the wear? Don't just clean them, upgrade them. Carroll's Carpet Flooring America can help you transform your home with beautiful new flooring and countertops. Carroll's Carpet is locally owned and operated, so you're supporting the community. At Carroll's Carpet, you'll get expert advice to help you find the perfect flooring. Hardwood, carpet, laminate, tile, or even luxury vinyl. They'll work with you to create the exact look you've been dreaming of. Carroll's Carpet. New floors this spring. Makes your whole home sing. Carrollscarpet.com on the Northeastern Boulevard.
For too long, Alabama's statewide news companies have shamed us for our conservative Christian values. Alabama deserves a news company that cherishes our culture, a company that isn't bought and paid for by the powers that be. 1819 News is that company. Run by Alabamians for Alabamians, 1819 News celebrates what is good and beautiful about our state while exposing those who work against our values in secret. Just go to 1819news.com to learn more. Subscribe to our newsletter. That's 1819news.com.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Cole Plumbing, 279-8919. Cole Plumbing is number one in the number two business. You don't have to dig a hole. They have proprietary pipelining technology. Ask them about their tankless water heaters. Remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
Hi there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. For many years, my team and I have worked diligently to provide our veterans with top-notch service, as it is our honor to serve those who have served us in the armed forces. Madeline and I are certified veteran lending specialists. Nationwide, there are over 22 million veterans that qualify to purchase a home through the VA loan program, yet less than 2 million of them currently have a VA home loan. Many lenders do not keep up with the ever-changing guidelines and benefits of the VA loan program. They are intimidated by the program, resulting in many veterans not obtaining VA loans. This is unacceptable. The VA Home Loan Program offers service members and veterans with 100% financing. You've already paid your down payment. If you are currently serving or have honorably discharged, we would love an opportunity to discuss how the VA program can serve you. Give Alabama Home Mortgage a call at 567-4223 or visit us online at myalabamahomemortgage.com to complete an application on your time. Thank you for your service. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, this is Randy and Tammy Burkhalter at Prattville Farm Center.
Hey, Randy, tell me about those hot chicks I've been hearing about.
Now, Tammy, I don't know any since we got married.
No, Randy, the baby chicks.
Oh, yeah, we're getting Rhode Island Reds, Americanas, Buff Orpingtons, and about six other different varieties.
Plus ducks, turkeys, geese, and guineas.
Hey, and raising chickens is a great family project.
And you get to look forward to fresh eggs.
Visit Prattville Farm Center at 1154 South Memorial Drive and pick up your hot chicks today.
Hey, this is David Little from Tucker Pecan Company. We've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for over 10 years now, and the results have been amazing. Every day, we have new customers that come in that have heard us on all the different radio stations that we advertise on. If you want to help your business grow, the best way to do it is through radio advertising through Blue Water Broadcasting. They do a great job in promoting our business and helping us grow our business, and hopefully they can help you grow your business too.
Now you can add the power of digital advertising to the number one reach of radio. Let Blue Water's 20 years of local advertising and marketing success show you how. Grow your business with a complete suite of digital solutions combined with the reach of the most listened to radio group in the River Region. Call us or go to BlueWaterBroadcasting.com to find out how we can increase your return on investment. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Cole Plumbing, 279-8919. Cole Plumbing is number one in the number two business. You don't have to dig a hole. They have proprietary pipelining technology. Ask them about their tankless water heaters. Remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Earnest Financial.
If you're tired of losing your money in the stock market, call David Earnest, 334-279-7431. Earnest Financial, LLC.
Well, hi, everybody. On this last day of winter, we have a late-season cold snap to talk about. Freeze warning in effect for tonight. Cool sunshine today with a high temperature much below normal, up to the upper 50s to around 60 at best. Low tonight near 32. Widespread frost by dawn tomorrow morning. For the day tomorrow, more sun, high temperature barely up to about 60, upper 30s again on Tuesday night, and near 70 on Wednesday, back to the low 70s on Thursday. Risk of showers returning on Friday. That's the third Friday in a row. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
At CBNS Bank, we've been meeting the needs of our customers since 1906. Need help setting up new business goals? Our line of commercial loans can help you achieve them. Go to cbsbank.com to find a location near you. All loans subject to credit approval, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1.
Never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
Fat broads and horse-faced lesbians.
Shut up, silly woman.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back.
To do some views in the afternoon. 272-9228 if you want to get it on the program. 272-9228. And also, you can always follow online at the Joey Clark on X Twitter platform. That's and right. Also Joey Clark Live on YouTube. Like and subscribe if you could, kind folks. And my goodness, there's a lot of comments we haven't even gotten to yet.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So Romax Angler says, good luck repealing taxes. That is as fine of an idea as scooping manure with a spoon. It's not going to happen, so stop.
Pro-tax much?
How about running for AG commissioner or something with greater impact on farmers? Wow. Romex Angler coming in like...
Yeah, coming in hot.
Hot. Well, no, and I've yet to ask any of the candidates the rude question.
What's that?
You know the rude question.
I know.
Especially cynical questions. Joey.
Oh.
It's like, how is you going up there going to change anything?
Kind of demoralizing.
It is. But am I wrong?
What if I don't go, Joey? You just assume you not go? And then we know all bad things will continue to happen?
Yeah. Yeah. No, part of me is like, yeah, let's just give up. Let's let the bloodbath happen.
No giving up. Never say die.
Are you like Scottish or something? No. Like you got Braveheart in you? Like, no. What is this like?
I just... No. Earlier this year, beginning of the year, late last year, I was really, honest to God, depressed on where I saw the country going.
Sure.
And you kept telling me, it's only going to get worse. And you were right.
Yeah.
But I've seen it to the point, and it's still going to get worse, but I've seen it to the point where it's getting so bad, silent people are waking up. People are starting to actually pay attention. People that I thought had given up. So I bring it on, because more and more people are waking up. It doesn't matter, Trump, Biden, all that crap. It doesn't matter to me. Those are leaders that we elect. That's kind of a puppet thing anyway. The people, the real people that are running things, are the ones behind the scene. People are waking up to that. So bring it on. Bring the gasoline on.
Do it to it like lighter fluid?
Amen, brother.
Now, get a load of this headline.
All right.
This is from Politico. How Donald Trump uses humor to make the outrageous sound normal. And then here's a subcaption on the X Twitter platform. Hey, Trump often uses jokes. They have jokes in quotes like that. Jokes and laughter to normalize his behavior, a trick used by autocrats in the past.
Isn't there a saying, though, something like many things are said in jest that, oh, darn it, I'm going to screw up the saying, but many things are said in jest and joking that are meant to be taken seriously. Like when I make funny.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Many a true word is spoken in jest.
Thank you.
Like what? Like all the fat comments you throw my way?
No, I know you're talking about you.
All the Joey's a little light in his loafer stuff you're constantly suggesting?
No. Who suggests that?
Well, both of us, honestly.
I don't suggest that. Not light in the loafers.
Yeah, there are a lot of people think it's just rude.
Yeah, I know. I hear a lot of that. Yeah, right. I really do. If I get too hard in the paint with Joey, Joey will never let me know. And that's a true statement of a man right there. But boy, will the fan club come after me.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. You were just mean. Oh, yeah.
Well, sometimes you do say things that are hurtful.
We do that. That's what we do. That's the part I don't get.
I've been indicted more times than Alphonse Capone. Donald Trump said from the stage in Winthrop Coliseum in Rock Hill, South Carolina, it's true, he said. And, of course, Politico said, it's not. Yeah, because that has to be literally true in order for it to be, again, a great joke. But what mattered the most was that here he was, late last month, uncorking an especially lively version of what has become a routine rally riff, and one that never fails to send ripples of giggles through the crowds he commands. My parents are looking down, they're saying, I never thought this could happen to my son. He's been indicted. He said, hands out, head up, reveling in the hoots on cue. The audio track of the traveling Trump carnival is now reliable to the point of ritualistic. Lee Greenwood at the start. The odd QAnon co-op sort of liturgical dirge to close. The apocalyptic assessments of the condition of the nation and the prompts to harass the press and the jeers and the swears from the throngs in between. I could shut my eyes and know precisely where I was. For me, though, there's one sound that comes to stick out more than any of the many others. It's the laughter. So now the laughter is dangerous.
So we should all be crying all the time?
Wait, you mean Trump's not a stiff who's kind of not good at speaking? You mean Trump actually has the ability that he's developed over decades to speak to a crowd and to work a room?
At the end of the day, he's a salesman.
Right.
So he's going to have a sense of humor.
Well,
he's
also
going to know how to communicate.
He knows TV. He was the number one TV show for the longest
time. Ironically enough, the number one TV show on that network hates his guts now. Hates his guts.
Yeah, and I'm just looking through this. What is this guy's name who wrote this? Michael Cruz. Oh. That guy. These signature set pieces are an utter engine, of course, of Trump's stubborn and undeniable appeal, and humor has always played a part, from repeated ridicule of his rivals to more impromptu and innocuous asides to physical pantomimes, the resulting laughter a consistent and key piece of their cadence and pull. This isn't new, and Trump obviously is far from the first president or pull with some capacity for comedy. But over the past few months at events of his that I've been to in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, it's felt to me particularly conspicuous. His destabilizing rhetoric has even gotten even more dark. It's what made the laughter all the more stark. Goodness gracious.
Shut up, silly woman.
Can we take a break?
Why?
Somebody just told me there's ice cream. Oh, that's all I can do to sit here.
Are you that much of a fat boy?
Yeah. Hello, have you seen my shirt?
Thick boy nation?
Yeah, have you seen my shirt?
What's with the teddy bears?
I haven't understood the teddy bear. Oh, two bears, one K. Yeah, I get it now.
Yeah, we're marks for some shows. We'll buy the merch some shows. Yeah,
All day long.
Trump's allies and aides suggest it's a big part of the reason the former and maybe future president still registers as relatable, managing to maintain the useful reputation as a politically incorrect outsider, despite his obvious insider status as leader of the GOP. What the hell is this guy talking about?
I don't quite get it. If he's the true leader of the GOP, how come everybody in the GOP is going against him on the TikTok bill?
Right.
I just don't get it.
Now, he cites some folks like Hogan Gidley saying Trump's humor is what really invites you in. It's one of his best characteristics. He's always been funny, said Jen Mercer. I don't know how to say that name.
Mercedes-Benz?
Jen, the author of Demagogue for President, The Rhetorical Genius of Donald Trump.
Somehow that book sounds like it's a slam.
She told this reporter that branding and framing his foes in a way that undermines their credibility and reaffirms the us versus them polarization all under the guise of just joking. Practically every joke is an in-group and out-group joke, and laughing at the joke is a sign of loyalty. That, she said, is how autocrats work.
Shut up, silly woman.
Thank you. Good Lord.
Hey, Jen, it's not just how autocrats work. It's how all of you yahoos work. What do you think SNL's done for the last few decades?
Suck.
In particular with their political commentary.
Suck.
Give me this. Oh, Trump's the only one who uses humor to really humanize himself and rope people in. Y'all constantly do this. Everything you blame Trump of doing, you do.
Yes.
You're just not that electric about it.
Well, that and Joe Biden can't remember a joke. Yeah. Let's be honest. He ain't going to remember the punchline.
That's remarkable. Like the us versus them polarization. Like if you want to put all that on Donald Trump, you're high. You're as high as a kite. And you could at least be in so high, laugh at a joke every once in a while. Goodness gracious. We'll see. We'll see where all this goes. But now even humor is just another sign of Trump's autocratic tendencies. It's going to be a bloodbath, folks.
It's right up there with Mathis.
It's going to be a bloodbath.
I take it about as seriously.
Right. But there are a lot of people trained like dogs who lap up this crap. God bless them. I don't really care about them as much as I do the folks who are doing all the manipulating and the training.
Yeah.
But we'll see how many folks have realized the tricks of the trade. This part of the program brought to you by River Region Contracting. And there at River Region Contracting, Todd Clark and his team are, well, ready to help you. Now, it could be you have an asphalt or a metal roof. Mm-hmm. Either one, you should get inspected on a regular basis for basic preventative maintenance. And, you know, your roof is one of the most expensive parts of your home. So you better be on the lookout. And if you let a problem fester for a long time, even if you have a homeowner's insurance, they're going to tell you if you let it go for a while, no, you were negligent. We don't have to pay your claim.
Exactly right, Joey.
So that's why you need to get River Region Contracting out there. They're called the premier roofing contractor here in the area for a reason. Number one, their inspections and estimates are always free.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And the estimates are accurate.
That's what I appreciate.
They show up on time.
Yep.
They don't leave a mess.
Correct.
They get the job done right.
Very professional.
hey, they might even tell you, hey, we found this other issue. And you know what? They also can walk you through that claims process with your insurance company because they're also insurance specialists there at River Region Contracting. So if they do find a problem with your roof, your insurance might cover. They can walk you through the process and make it easy and pleasurable, not something you usually associate with insurance claims.
Correct.
So check out River Region Contracting today, 356-8635. That's 356-8635. And be sure to tell them that, well, Joey and Eddie from the radio sent you. We'll be right back.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
This is Eddie Bader from eXp Realty. You know me from co-hosting News and Views with Joey Clark for the past several years. Are you looking for a real estate agent that will go above and beyond to help you find your dream home? Look no further than Hannah Grantham and myself. Hannah and I have the knowledge and experience in the Tri-County area to guide you through the home buying process as easy and smooth as possible. Our attention to detail and dedication to our clients ensures that you will always receive the highest level of service. Don't settle for anything less than the best. Call Hannah and Eddie today, 334-368-6358.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Cole Plumbing, 279-8919. Cole Plumbing is number one in the number two business. You don't have to dig a hole. They have proprietary pipelining technology. Ask them about their tankless water heaters. Remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back to News and Views in the afternoon. Yeah, I'm reading this Politico piece about how humor is essentially autocratic. Horseplay is necessary, believe Joseph Goebbels. Mussolini had the same twisted sense of humor as Trump. Yeah. So that's where we're going. Because Trump makes you laugh in a genuine way, you're just ushering in the next Hitler and Mussolini. You know, it's problem is you've been saying that about every frickin' Republican that challenges you for decades now. And we wouldn't be mocking you, we wouldn't be laughing our asses off at you, if the results were actually good. But they're not. The reason there's doom and gloom mixed with, yes, some sardonic humor and mockery, is because the results have been crap. You have treated this nation's middle and working class like chattel and suckers. You're willing to tell the most outright lies in order to sap them of their liberty and their wallet. So, pardon us if we would rather just mock you. And that we found a guy who's funnier than your guy. You'll constantly have used humor to your advantage. And, you know, maybe, just maybe, you can have a strong American president that makes people laugh. It doesn't fall into the land of fascism. It's such a cockamamie theory of history. If you don't join us, then you're a fascist. Yeah, said the communists time and time again. Damn dirty commies. Oh, wait, is that ice cream? Yeah. Oh, what type?
Ooey gooey butter cake.
Ooey gooey butter cake?
It's really good.
Yeah, is it good?
It's really good. So good. Got like chunks of cake in there.
Well, I guess this is going to be fascist too, according to the commies.
Swirl.
Okay.
Chunks of ooey butter cake and cake batter ice cream.
It's so good. It's really good.
All right.
You notice how it calmed the beast down?
Damn dirty commies.
Isn't it good?
Oh my goodness.
It's so good.
Excuse me for eating. Wow. Anyway.
See how a little bit of sugar helps? A little bit of sweet. Calms you right down. Don't eat too fast, you get an ice cream headache and pass out.
I'm getting a little bit of that now. That's so good.
It is good.
And the ooey gooey cake bits
cake
are
stuff.
So much you got to chew them.
Yeah.
Wow. Which is makes it extra cold. But oh man, that's good.
It is.
Good. I lost my train of thought.
Don't
oh
you?
Yeah, that everything that's not commie is, of course, fascist. You remember what the Berlin Wall was called?
Freedom Wall. What was it?
The Anti-Fascist Protection Rampart.
Really?
The East German government, run by the communists, good called Lord. It the Anti-Fascist Protection Rampart.
Well, you got to name it something.
So I guess there's always a certain way to twist things in one direction or the
oh, sure.
other.
Sure.
Always a way to twist things. Hey, we're running out of time, but do you want to hear the very last call Rush Limbaugh ever...
oh, yeah, I'd love to.
...ever took on air?
Yeah.
Okay, who's next? Okay. Gary Cape May.
Pause it here. Because I want to eat some ice cream, and we got to get out of here soon.
Okay. Okay.
But I thought this was, well, they've been calling this man a fascist. One of the best things Trump ever did was honoring him at the State of the
Definitely.
Union and making everybody else lap up their tears and horror to it. But let's listen in. This is the last call Rush Limbaugh ever took.
In New Jersey. Great to have you, sir. Hello.
Thank you very much, Mega Prayers, Rush. Two things I want to tell you, Rush. Number one, quit apologizing. You have nothing to apologize for. If people can't keep up with what you're saying, so be it. But we understand what you're saying.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And number two, over the last few weeks, I've heard you say that you feel you failed in getting your message out there about liberalism. I want you to know that you have absolutely not failed. You have not failed, sir. We understand, okay? We wish you all the best. Be well.
Well, thank you. You know, I really appreciate that. Let me share something that I saw this morning also during show prep period. And it was Fox, so it's not going to appear anywhere but there. But there were some Keystone XL pipeline workers who've been let go because Biden has shut it down. And they were reacting to having their jobs taken away, eliminated. And they were bemoaning the fact that they now got to rely on $15 an hour minimum wage, or they've now got to rely on selling solar panels. And I'm watching this, and I don't know if any of the people, it looked like about 15 people who were part of the protest. I don't know if any of them listen to this program, but I just couldn't stop thinking, why are you people surprised? What do you think the Democrat Party is? What do you think all this climate change argument is about? It's clear as a bell that they have no desire to enhance your life. They're taking jobs away from you. This is what Biden and his administration are hell-bent on doing.
Yep. That last caller, I think, what a way to end a career and a legacy. You didn't fail. You've made it loud and clear to a lot of us. And though I was never really a Rush Limbaugh baby, I just missed it by that much.
Yeah.
I'm nothing but undying respect for that man and the fight he started. And they were bitching about Rush Limbaugh the way they did about Trump in the early 90s. The man was early to the party.
Always.
This is part of the program brought to you by Prathill Carpet. And usually we talk to Ray at this time, but he seems to be preoccupied at the moment.
So.
It's probably a good thing that he's busy.
Oh, yeah.
But they're at Prathill Carpet. Of course, they can come to you for free, yes, free, in-home measurement.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, whether you're looking for carpet or traditional hardwood, the new laminate products are great, as well as that luxury vinyl plank. They'll essentially measure the area you're looking to resurface. Could even be like your kitchen countertops.
Right.
And that way, depending on what material you pick out, they'll know exactly how much it's going to cost and how long it's going to take to get done. They're just that good there at Prattville Carpet. And they're a great local family-owned business. You hear Ray on these airwaves pretty much every day, Monday through Friday. And it's that sort of family-owned local work that, well, makes shows like this work, but it's also that great service you can't get anywhere else. That's why you need to check out Prattville Carpet. You can always go to prattvillecarpet.com or give them a call at 285-8117. That's 285-8117. And be sure to tell Ray Bowles and the team there that Joey and Eddie from News and Views in the afternoon sent you. Well, we're pretty much out of time here, so...